Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hello. This is Ruth Wheeler. Kate Wakefield's staying here. Oh, she's out now. Oh, you're Trudy, the girl who drove up with her. Well, I'll be pleased to tell Kate when she gets back. And I hope we'll be seeing you. Yeah. Bye now.
Who is that?
Ben! Are you back already? Kate just missed a call from that friend of hers, Trudy. Now, she might be coming down tomorrow. Where's Kate?
She's gone over to Gull Island.
But I thought you were taking her over.
She got a boat for herself down at Hank's.
Now, what in the world did you let her do that for?
Didn't know she was going to do it.
But this is Kate's first trip back in 3 years since she lost her husband off the island. Now, you had no call to let her go alone,
Ben. I tried to stop her. She did what she wanted to do. Joey's gone with her.
Oh, well, that's all right, then. Just so there's somebody. Goodness knows Kate sat around this house for 2 days waiting for you to take her over to Gull.
You saw the fog.
You've been over much worse than that. Ben? You've been acting funny about this ever since Kate got here.
Now, Ruth, you leave me be.
Nope. I'm going to speak my mind.
I've got to go on up to Rockville this morning.
Well, I'll go along with you. Now, something's been bothering me, and I'm not going to keep it to myself any longer.
What is it?
Well, something I should have asked you a long time ago. Now, you want to hear it now or on the way to Rockville?
I got too many things to do.
And you're going to listen to me now, because it has to do with Kate or Gull Island. Well, I should say, the thing is, it was hers and Tom's. It's just the same thing.
Get on with it, Ruth.
Now, you've been going over to the island twice a month, right?
Yep.
And you've seen anything over there that, well, maybe shouldn't be.
What do you mean?
I mean anybody around who shouldn't be around.
Where would you get an idea like that?
Oh, I've been asked once or twice. Somebody's seen a boat tied up. And just a few weeks ago, somebody saw a light.
Sun gets reflected from the windows.
At 9 o'clock at night.
Why don't those busybodies come to me? I'd go over and see.
Hank Peterson run over there a couple of times.
Oh, did he find anybody?
Nope, not a trace.
I've heard all this, Ruth. I just don't pay any attention.
Now, Ben, this is the first time in all our married years I've said this. And I'm only saying it because Kate's here. Are you telling me the truth?
Well, considering you asked me that yesterday, only then you said my ears got red.
Now, it's one thing for me to be joking, and it's another to ask my own husband if he's saying the truth.
Go ahead, ask.
Is there anybody using that cottage who shouldn't be there?
You mean now?
I meant what I said.
Didn't I go over early yesterday in that fog? You jawed me out for that, too. But I went out to make sure everything is all right.
And it is?
Sure it is.
But I just don't know. And that talk.
I don't hold with other folks' talk. They mind their business, I'll mind mine. Now I got to get on to Rockville.
Wind's rising. How long do you think Kate will be wanting to stay over there?
Now, look here. Joey's a good sailor. You got no need to worry. You'll get her back good as I would.
I expect so. How long are you going to be up in Rockville?
Till I finish my business. Bye.
Bye. Ben Wheeler, if I got no need to worry, why am I doing it?
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
Well, what about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula to know you're the best you can be.
Handle the boat real good, Mrs. Wakefield.
Well, I had the same teacher you did.
Your husband knew more about boats than anybody around here.
There, how's that for coming alongside?
Neat. I'll tie her up. I'll just make this line fast.
Oh, look at the gulls. They're still here.
Yep. Got more nests than ever over on the north side. Mind those planks. They're slippery.
Thanks, Joey. Same old dock.
Pretty good shape. Ben and me done some work on it.
And there's Tom's old mooring marker. Still lying there. For his boat, the Sea Witch.
Yeah, I remember. All white with that blue line around the hull. I'd like to have a boat like that someday.
And there's the house. Doesn't look a bit different from the day I walked out of it.
Sort of old, though. If I had an island like this, I'd change things around. Build a new dock down near the channel and...
Tom and I used to lug our gear and our supplies up that little path. Seems to be overgrown now. House looks smaller than I remembered it.
Oh, it's a good size. You got the key?
Yes.
I'll go in with you.
You don't have to, Joey.
I want to.
Okay. Oh.
You want me to go in first?
No, I don't. I just want to stand here and look for a minute.
Looks pretty good.
Nothing's changed. Nothing.
I'll go in and look around for you.
No. No, don't, Joey. No need to do that.
Okay.
Joey.
Yeah?
Joey, I want to be alone here for a while. Do you mind?
No, I can hang around outside.
I mean, for quite a while. I have to go through Tom's old charts and papers. I have to find something. I'd just rather do it alone.
Okay.
You understand?
Sure. I guess so. What do you want me to do?
Well, why don't you go back to the mainland?
And leave you here?
Yes. That's what I want.
When should I come back?
Oh, 3 or 4 hours.
Okay. If you say so. Take care now.
I will. Oh, thank goodness. How quiet it is. Nothing has changed. Tom's old desk and my funny old rocking chair. Tom's barometer. Working. Good as ever. Steady.
It's falling.
Who are you?
Can't you read a barometer?
Where did you come from?
I didn't come from anywhere. Like you, I'm here.
Well, who are you?
You don't remember me?
I never saw you before in my life.
Well, then I have the advantage.
What advantage?
You're Kate Wakefield.
Yes.
Tom's wife.
Yes, who are you?
That's the third time you've asked me. Wouldn't mean anything if I told you. What are you like, John Smith, Bill Jones, Charlie Buck, Michael Cole? Suppose we settle for Michael Cole.
I do know you. You were a friend of Tom's.
A long time ago. When the world was young.
Well, how did you get here?
Doesn't matter, does it? Some of us never leave the gates of hell.
You don't look like Michael Cole.
You finally see the signs of ravage. Tom wouldn't look like himself either if he were here.
You were at our wedding.
That was a different Michael Cole. He's gone.
Well, what are you doing way out here?
Tom owed me a haven. Mostly I've been frightening the natives.
You've been living here?
It's not bad. I'm sure glad you got rid of that kid.
Joey? Why?
I've been wanting company.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Ladies, gentlemen, I present my compliments, William Makepeace Thackeray here, author of Vanity Fair, in which a mirror just has been shattered. On purpose?
Oh, yes.
Giles dropped it to distract Miss Crawley after she said to Becky and the bogus Gordy Kiner,
"We must set your wedding date as soon as possible. What else did I bring Rebecca to London?"
But does the shattering of that mirror foretell, as Becky wailed,
7 years bad luck?
If so, not yet. The crashing and splintering and exclaiming and picking up and sending Giles for tea has served a better purpose. Indeed, its intended purpose. Given Becky time to compose an answer to wedding plans. Pray note that it is she who calmly brings up the awkward subject, whilst Private Gordy appears to be as shattered as the mirror and as silent.
Dear me, where were we before the catastrophe?
You were wondering, Miss Crawley, about a wedding date.
Ah, yes, I do love weddings. You shall be married in St. George's, Hanover Square. But, my dear, the Reverend Bute Crawley shall not preside. My fool of a brother weeps at weddings. Come to think of it, my other fool of a brother, he's Sir Pitt Crawley, Private Gordy. He will weep as well. That's a small joke between Rebecca and me. Now, where was I? My own dear rector shall plight your troth.
Miss Crawley
has a rich, deep voice. The ceremony will be very moving. You will be married in the chapel, not in the main part of the church, as the high altar. It would not be suitable.
Miss Crawley, may I
see your little chapel? I believe it's called the Chapel of the Magi. Yes. Now, Rebecca, let us plan your wedding gown. Perhaps that wouldn't interest your young man. We'll plan it later.
Miss Crawley, may I say something?
Of course, my dear. You've every right to make suggestions about your own wedding. Will Amelia Sedley be an attendant? And wouldn't it be charming to have one of my little nieces as ring bearer?
Miss Crawley!
Violet or Rose, which?
Neither.
But they were your little pupils. I thought you very fond of them.
I am fond of them and of Amelia, but not any of them will be in my wedding because there will not be a wedding.
Then who, pray, will you have instead of... Not be a wedding?
I've been trying very hard to tell you that my Gordy feels that we should not be married until the war in Europe is ended.
The war in Europe?
Don't you feel that way, my darling Gordy?
I do. Yes, I exactly do, my darling Becky.
What has war to do with your wedding, sir?
Well, it...
My darling cannot bring himself to utter it. He has been told, I must try not to cry. Told that soon, terribly soon, he will be ordered abroad in His Majesty's service, won't you, love?
Yes, will be. For God and country. Soon.
Oh, that vile, wretched, wicked, monstrous jackanapes Napoleon.
Do you think that little, little man can so shatter our lives?
He can't. I'll not permit it. You shall be married before Private Gordy is ordered abroad. Next week, yes.
No, he doesn't approve of that.
Why not, sir, pray?
He is embarrassed
to tell you, and though I don't quite agree with him myself, I would not go against whatever he says.
You don't sound like yourself at all.
When one is in love, one very often does not sound like oneself.
No, you sound like Rawdon. Why, sir, can you not be married and Becky go with you abroad and live nearby? Speak!
Becky!
He loves me too much to subject me to the rough treatment of a private's wife in time of war.
Oh.
Yes, quite. Oh, by Jove, I cannot subject little Becky to the rough treatment of a private's wife in time of war.
I do not agree. No, I do not.
Miss Crawley, Amelia's Lieutenant Osborne feels exactly the same. She wrote me of it. They'll not be married until the terrible war ends. Oh, dear. Oh, Gordy, my dearest, you said you must be back at the barracks by 4, and it's gone 3:30.
Yes, sorry, must go.
But Giles is bringing tea.
Our orders, Miss Crawley. Must bid you good afternoon.
Oh, dear, I fear it hasn't been a good afternoon at all. Broken mirrors, no wedding, and no tea.
Did you guess, my dear listeners, from whence Becky hatched her excuse for no wedding bells? From Amelia Sedley's letter. Do not go away, my friends. I do believe I have a surprise for you. In front of the house in Park Lane, during Private Hooton's masquerade as Private Gordy, Captain Rawdon Crawley has paced back and forth, back and forth. Jealousy has turned him a bilious shade of green. Will Hooton never emerge from that house? Ah, as he emerges.
Hooton, over here. Step lightly.
Yes, sir. I've been waiting long, sir.
Damn long. How did it go?
You've a very nice aunt, sir.
Never mind that. Did she believe your confounded masquerade?
Oh, yes, sir. Tried to marry us off, she did. Next week, if she had her way. Becky got out of it handily, though.
My man, you will call her Miss Becky when you speak of her from now on.
Yes, sir.
At ease. Tell me more.
I have a good deal more to tell, sir.
Well, get on with it, then. Something did go amiss?
Not yet, Captain, but it may.
May? How? What?
Your aunt has, I believe, remembered you handsomely in her will.
Ah.
And I believe she would not remember you at all if, by some misfortune, she learned that you love a certain governess and paid me a fiver to bamboozle her today.
What the devil are you getting at?
I think you know.
Blaggart, I do.
A fiver for what I went through up there. Not enough. Not by half. £200 would be more like it.
Two? Good God, I've £3 to my name.
Lady Moneybags upstairs has a bit more to her name. You've only to ask.
Bounder, blackmailer, swine.
No, then I'm obliged to speak to the lady myself. Excuse me, sir. I've urgent business to attend to.
Houghton! Come back here.
I thought you'd see it my way, Captain. So it will be you going upstairs. Splendid. I'll wait for you here.
Rawdon, dear boy, what a surprise. You shall have tea with me. Rebecca has just gone to fetch it.
Promised I'd come every day whilst you're unwell, Auntie.
Private Gordy left only a few moments ago. What a fine young man Becky has given her heart. Rawdon, you don't look well yourself. Are you ill?
Feel rotten. Rotten.
Oh, a nice hot cup of tea will... Or would you prefer brandy?
Yes.
Decanter and glasses just there.
By Jove, I need it.
Ah, would I could have a splash. My doctor won't hear of it. What is making you so green and glum?
May as well confess, Aunt Matilda. I lost at cards last night.
Oh, you are naughty. And want your poor auntie to pay your gambling debts again. You have me bankrupt.
Disown me. Serve me right. Made the fool I have. No judge of men.
No judge of cards, foolish boy. How much is the debt?
£250.
Gracious, you never lost so much before.
Never been such an ass before. Will you give it me, Auntie? If you're not, I'm ruined. Ruined, I tell you.
No, don't be so dramatic. I'll give it you. But only upon one condition.
Any condition, any.
You must continue to be friends with dear Rebecca. Oh, what is so amusing, pray?
Dear Auntie, relieve that sort of pay my debt. And you've my word of honor. I'll make every effort to be friends with dear Rebecca.
The shattered mirror did not, after all, bring fatal bad luck. Oh, not yet. Tomorrow, a new gentleman enters Vanity Fair. Pray come and meet him. And I remain your most obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
To you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist. A sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm your teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Honey, I do not want that suitcase. I'm just taking an overnight bag.
Aren't you going to take an extra suit?
I'm only going to be in Washington one night.
Two nights. I thought you said you were leaving now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It'll be two nights.
You certainly ought to take another suit, another pair of slacks, an extra jacket or something.
Why? I'm meeting a guy in the morning. We've got several people to see. He's taking the 7 o'clock plane tomorrow night to Brazil, and I'll stay overnight and catch the plane back the next morning. I won't be changing clothes during the day. Where are my clean socks?
Where they always are, in the second drawer down.
I need some new ones. Funny, you never notice you need something new until you take a trip.
What if you spill something on this suit?
Why should I spill anything?
Oh, all right. Remember the time you went on another business trip and the waitress spilled a raspberry sherbet all down the front of you and you had no change of clothes? Remember that?
Yeah. All right, I'll take my brown pants and my other jacket. Where are my clean shirts?
Bottom drawer, where they always are. You know, every time you pack, you ask where everything is as though you didn't even live here. Silly.
Yeah, I guess I do. In a hurry, I said. I'm not thinking.
Where are you staying in Washington?
I don't know. Miss Perkins wrote everything down. She made the reservations. Georgetown Inn, probably.
Well, I'd like to know, you know, where you'll be in case anything happens.
Oh, look at this shirt. Oh, golly, I need new shirts, too. This collar's a mess. Haven't I got a better one?
Let me look. Gee, I'll miss you.
I'll only be gone one night.
Two nights. What time do you get into Washington tonight?
I don't know. I'm taking the shuttle from Kennedy.
Eat on the plane?
Oh, not on the shuttle. They don't serve food.
You're all by yourself tonight when you get into Washington?
Honey, I'll go straight to the hotel and go to bed.
Call Lorraine.
What?
Oh, where is my address book? Call my friend Lorraine and then say hello for me.
Oh, now, please, don't start that. I don't even know her.
You don't have to know her. Can't you just call her up and say hello?
No.
Oh, come on.
Now, you know I hate that sort of thing, and you always do it to me. I have yet to go on a business trip, no matter what town it is, what state it is. You know somebody there, and I'm supposed to call and say hello.
Oh, well, it doesn't kill you to do that, and people appreciate it.
Honey, no, they don't. Not when I don't even know them.
Just say who you are and say that Peg says to say hello.
That's what I do. I say Peg said to say hello. And so I say hello, and she, whoever she is, says hello, and there we are with nothing left to say.
Oh, I've known Lorraine for years, and she isn't like that. She will talk even if you don't.
Yeah, well, that's even worse. I'll put in my shaving kit. I'd better not forget the papers I need from the office.
Well, here. I've got Lorraine's address, but I don't have a phone number now. I think she's in Arlington. Yes, she is now. We'll just get her number from information.
Look, forget it.
Honey,
now, I did this once in Chicago, and this friend of yours insisted I come all the way out to Evanston to some party. I didn't know a soul. And when I got there, your friend's husband, who was so jealous, kept asking me why I was there.
Here, Lorraine Inman. Call her tonight when you get to the hotel. Now, it'll be so late she won't ask you to a party or anything like that. Just ask her how she is, what she's doing now, how she likes her new job. Please, honey, I owe her a letter and I haven't written. So I'd like her to know at least that I've been thinking of her.
All right.
And she's not married, again, as far as I know, so you won't have to put up with any jealous husband.
Where's my brown jacket?
I just came back from the cleaners. Let me look. Out of the way, dear. You never can find anything in your closet.
There's a taxi outside.
Oh, for Pete's sake already. Aunt Maggie, just tell him to wait. I'll be right down.
You call a taxi way out here in the country?
Well, he came out from town. The company pays for it. There's a travel expense.
He'll be right out.
Have you got money?
Oh, yeah. I got everything, I hope. Come on.
Wait a minute, dear. I've got to fold your jacket decently. I don't want it wrinkled.
Bob? I've written down my cousin's address, and I don't know her phone number, but you can ask information.
Aunt Maggie, please.
Are you going to be in Washington?
Yes, but I do not have the time to call
Bernadine Russell, her name is. She lives with her sister Emma. I haven't seen them for years, and she will be so thrilled to have you call. In fact, they may want you for dinner.
Aunt Maggie, you're getting into Washington very late tonight.
But he's going to be there tomorrow night, and I know they don't have much company. I'm sure they would love to ask you for dinner. Now, Bernadine and Emma live in Alexandria.
Yeah, well, that is not in Washington, and I will be having business meetings until 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
It only takes about 20 minutes or so to get to Alexandria from Washington. I remember Bernadine told me that once. She said, if you ever get to Washington, we're only about 20 minutes or so, depending on traffic, from Washington.
Aunt Maggie, I've already asked him to call a friend of mine tonight when he gets there, just to say hello. And he doesn't even want to do that, really.
Well,
you know,
if his business meetings are over at 7, he can call Bernadine sometime during the day, and I just know they will ask you to dinner.
Yeah, I know, and I really do not want
to. You don't want to be sitting in your hotel room all by yourself tomorrow night.
Yes, I would. I'd love it.
Bernadine and Emma are your cousins, too. Third cousins, I guess. But they have never seen you since you were 3 years old. And they will be so excited and so thrilled to see how you've grown.
Is she kidding?
No.
Peg, if you don't mind, I'm going to take one of the strawberry apricot preserves I brought for you when I came. And some of my apple butter and one jar of my watermelon pickles.
Well,
so save some room in your suitcase. I'll wrap them up.
Aunt Maggie, don't bother. My taxi's waiting.
I'll tell him to wait.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Look, I have to go. This taxi guy's been honking for 10 minutes.
Aunt Maggie's wrapping up the apple butter and the watermelon pickles. Now, you don't want them dripping all over your suitcase.
I don't want them at all. Look, will you please tell her that
I can't...
I'll
be right there.
I am not going to call these cousins of hers. I am not...
But honey, they are your cousins, too.
Why can't I go off on a business trip the way other men do without being laden down with addresses and watermelon pickles?
Yeah, come on, now, get your coat on. You sure you have money?
Yes, yes.
Come on, calm down.
But I can't find the papers I need in my briefcase.
Oh, dear.
Let him in, will you?
Yes, yes. I don't know why taxi drivers get so nervous.
Taxi, I've been honking.
Yeah. I know you've been honking. I'm sorry. I'll be right with you.
Here we are. I've got everything wrapped up tightly in newspapers, so don't bang your suitcase down. You don't want the glass jars to break. Pickle juice is sticky.
Oh, close the door, would you please?
Sure. I'm okay. Kind of in a hurry. I got another call.
Now, dear, here's Lorraine's address, Lorraine Inman. Now, just ask how she is, what she's doing. Tell her I send my love.
Yes. I don't think I brought the right papers home from the office.
Oh, now, when you call Bernadine and Emma, be sure you tell them that I send my love, as well as the pickles. and I will call them tonight to say that you will call them tomorrow when you're in Washington, so they'll be expecting you.
Aunt Maggie, Bob may not have time.
He'll be by himself tomorrow night in the hotel, won't you?
Well,
yes, but I have meetings all day, and I'll be tired.
He will certainly relax with Bernadine and Emma. They never see anybody. They went to live in Washington when their father was a senator, and I don't think they've seen anybody since. And they're my age. I just don't think people should hibernate like that. And you'll certainly be a breath of fresh air to them.
Aunt Maggie.
You're trying to catch the last executive flight out of here.
Yes.
We won't make it if we don't leave right now.
Here's Lorraine's address, dear. Now, just call her when you get in tonight. Tell her I say hello. Give her my love. Ask what she's doing. And in your charming way, apologize for my not having written her since last Christmas.
And here's Bernadine and Emma's address. Tell her about your Aunt Clara's high blood pressure and how Uncle Ralph's brother Walter died in March and that our old school friends, the Wilton sisters, she'll know who I mean, bought the old Harrison house and then sold that and moved to a condominium in Florida.
What?
Aunt Maggie, Bob will never remember all that. Now, don't forget, he's going to Washington on business.
His business should not interfere with pleasure.
Well,
and when Bernadine and Emma see you, they will just throw their arms around you. They never write anyone. They lead such sheltered, isolated lives. And to meet you again, to see you again, and get all the news of the family.
Yeah, well, Aunt Maggie, I don't remember one darn thing you told me.
Well, I do. I go through this all the time when guys are leaving on business trips. I tell you, when you drive a taxi...
There, you see, dear, you're not the only husband who's asked the call.
I'll brief him, as they say on the TV shows, all the way to the airport. I used to say hello to Lorraine, give her your love, apologize for not writing.
Yes, that's right.
He tells Bernadine and Emma about Clara's high blood pressure, Walter died in March, and the Wilton sisters moved into a condominium in Florida.
Isn't it? Honey, even the taxi driver has it straight.
That pickle juice is already leaking out of the watermelon pickles. My suitcase is going to be a mess.
No, I'll fix it. I'll get a plastic bag or some tin foil.
All right. Come on, just a minute. I'll help.
No, I'll help. I'll get a rubber band.
Yeah, come on, come on. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Get the pickles!
Right, you are, sir, but you'll hear about it when you get back.
I know. I'll deal with it then. Tomorrow is another day.
You bet, but I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Now, if you can just remember your wife's friend, Lorraine, then Bernadine and Emma...
Forget it! Let's go. Let's get out of here. Come on.
Yes, sir. Oh, I hope I bring you home in the taxi. I hate to miss the fireworks.
Now, you just wrap wrap the paper tighter around those pickles. Wrap the paper tighter around.
I am. Mm-hmm.
You know, wait, but hold it still. Now, let me get the rubber band around it. Now, Bob. Bob.
Well.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Dan Rolon, America's leading Rolon antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
How much chance did Jennifer have, Joe?
A good chance, Angela. If we're lucky. Just keep up the heart massage.
But even if you save her life, she was without oxygen for 45 minutes. The brain, Joe.
I know, but there's still a good chance.
A chance that you'll be hopelessly brain damaged, unable to see, or talk, or move? Is that what you call saving her?
I can't explain now, Angela, but she may be all right.
But, Joe, you know what happens when the brain is deprived of oxygen for more than 4 minutes.
Will you stop arguing and keep up the heart massage?
All right. But isn't it cruel to give them hope?
There is hope. Believe me.
She still hasn't any pulse.
I'm going to start the isoprenaline.
She must have been in the water for a long time after temperature 75.
Yes, and thank God for that.
What do you mean?
That's what we have going for us.
But that means she's gone.
No, it doesn't. It means her brain isn't needing oxygen.
What? What good is the sodium bicarbonate IV?
Is to correct the metabolic acidosis.
God, I hope you know what you're doing.
It should work, Angela. Believe me.
Come on, Dad. Breathe.
Stop the massage for a second. I want to listen. Yes, it's still just a slow sinus rhythm.
Shall I continue?
Yes. Are you all right?
I don't know. But I'll keep at it.
I'm going to leave you for a minute. I want to get some money, Tal.
Where is the staff?
You forget, Angela. It's Thanksgiving Day.
Oh. Jennifer. Can you hear me? Darling, come back. Don't go, Jen. It's Thanksgiving Day. Jason, are you all right, darling?
Oh, God, Em.
What's happening? It's been an hour.
We still have a long time to go before we know.
Who's with her, Joe?
Angela.
Well, can't I see her, Joe?
No, please, not now, Em.
I think Joe's right, dear.
Why not?
We have so much to do, and I don't want to worry about you.
Well, I won't... Joe, is she... Is she dead and you're afraid to tell me?
No, no, Em.
Oh, if there was only something to do.
Well, I could stand some coffee.
Oh, well, Susie's down in the kitchen trying to get a pot for us.
Good. Now, look, Emily, Jason's still in wet clothes. Maybe if you could find...
Joe, I'm all right.
No, no, you're exhausted and you don't know
it. He's right, Jason. I could try to see. Maybe
yes,
somebody...
Yes, go on. Here's his jacket. Maybe you can get it dried somehow.
All right. I'll hurry.
Joe, are you crazy? My wet clothes are no problem.
But Emily's worry is, Jason. She's better off doing something. We're all busy. And she's just waiting and going to pieces.
Yeah, I know. What's happening?
Nothing yet. But we are still within the margin.
Joe, what about brain damage?
We won't know. For a while, anyway.
God. If we save her and she leaves us...
No, 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 that might not happen.
What do you mean?
Her body temperature was lowered so rapidly that her brain stopped demanding oxygen.
And if we can...
That's it. We have to restore function and get oxygen into her.
Yes, that's why you didn't worry about the cold when I got her out of the water.
Right. As long as she wasn't breathing, she had to be kept cold. Oh, now we've got to get everything started again.
Joe, where did you...
Just last week, I came across a case of a Norwegian boy, almost like this. He was 5, Jason. And you know, he came out all right. Perfect.
Where's Mom, Dad?
She's trying to find some dry clothes for me,
son. Oh.
It's really something to keep her busy.
Is Jennifer...
We don't know yet, Bobby.
Well, they've got to save her. But she looks so awful, Dad. So blue.
Yes, that was because of lack of oxygen.
I know.
Bobby, listen. You stay with your mother and try to keep her talking and busy. And don't let her worry.
I'm here for Jennifer. I guess I find it hard to ask you for something for myself, but Jennifer... Well, I know you're there, and I know you love her. But for all of us who love her, too, please... Please help them to save her. She's so dear. So alive. You know you made her so.
Mom? Are you all right?
Oh, yes, honey. I found this chapel, and well, if there was ever a time...
Yeah, I found it, too. I was going to tell you.
Come on, Bobby. Let's see if we can get some dry clothes for your father.
Mom, Jen does have a good chance.
I know she does, dear.
How is her temperature now?
Still 75, Joe. What about pulmonary edema?
We're going to work on that as soon as we get a pulse. Right now, I'm worried about the arterial pH and blood gas analysis.
Here, Angela, I'll take over.
Isn't there even a faint pulse?
Nothing's come up on the monitors yet.
Why don't you go see how Emily's doing?
All right. Then I'll be back to change the hot water bottles.
The hospital has a warm water mattress, and they're getting it ready.
She still has no color. But she won't until circulation starts.
Starting to think like a doctor again, Jason.
Angela, how does she look?
Well, Emily, she's still very blue.
Oh, she felt so cold when I held her.
She was in the water a long time.
But then she's drowned, isn't she?
No, darling, it's the cold that's giving us a chance to save her from drowning.
Oh, God.
The hospital kitchen's sending up some soup now, Mom.
Oh, thank you, Bobby.
Is anything new?
Not yet, but we'll know soon.
Aunt Angela.
Mm-hmm?
What are Jen's chances of getting completely well?
What do you mean, completely well?
Well, her brain's been deprived of oxygen.
Oh, my
Bobby,
God.
You are not a doctor.
I know, but everybody knows...
Jennifer's brain wasn't deprived of oxygen.
All that time she was in the water?
Her body chilled so fast, her brain stopped needing oxygen.
Oh. Well, then how...
I don't know anything yet, Em.
can this take, Joe? We are reaching the limit. She's got to start herself.
Yes, I know. You increased the sodium bicarbonate infusion rate.
Yes. Where the arterial pH has returned to normal, we should get a response. Let's see. Yes. Hey, it's shut up.
What do we keep on giving it?
That's it. That's it. We are past the first hurdle.
Oh, God. I'll tell Emily.
What is it? Her heart's going.
That's a good, steady pulse. Hey, Jen, you're going to do it.
Emily! Emily! Her heart started. It's beating. Oh, thank God.
And to Hold features Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, William Redfield as Marsh. Also appearing were Gonzalo Moderga and Robert Phelps. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Music supervisor John Anthony. Written by Mary Dornheim. And brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.